So this is okay? Okay, great. So once again, my name is Allison. I work at Facebook. A little bit of background about me. Got really bright. Wow. So just to kind of really emphasize my non-technical roots, if you go back in time, I actually started off as a journalist, and I've worked at a couple publications. So the longest was U.S. News and World Report, but I also worked at the Boston Globe and the San Jose Mercury News. So I was a copy editor, I was a blogger, I was a producer, I did all sorts of stuff. I also incidentally did some product management. I didn't realize it at the time, but like it was in my blood at the time, right? So from journalism, I went and got my MBA. I realized journalism, not a great career. That was a pretty smart move like 10 years ago. Sorry, if you're still a journalist here. But you're here at this meeting, so there's something, you know, something is up. So I got my MBA at Wharton, and then from there, I went to a very small startup. It was two people for a long time, and we were building iPad books, like ebooks for the iPad, and we sold them as apps. So it was right when iPads came out. So like there was like this hint that mobile would be very important at the time. One of the other smarter moves I've made in my life was joining a startup. It didn't really go anywhere. We sold off the assets at the end, but it was the leap pad from that to Amazon, and from there Rent the Runway, and now Facebook. I've been at Facebook for about 5 months, so I don't have deep knowledge, so if you like have a problem with your account, I don't know how to fix it. Like it happens all the time. I don't know what to do. So I barely know how to use Facebook, to be honest. So it's just like a little bit of like there's some key parts in here, and I'm happy to like go into the details of how I made some of these transitions. But you know, the really important ones are like here. This is the first product manager-y job, but actually it wasn't called that at the time. But it was a really important step. Okay, so I'm going to kind of go through like the basics. What does a product manager do? One, we don't do design. But so like a lot of times you'll hear people say, okay, the product manager is like the CEO of the product. That's like one line. And then the other side is like, oh, like you just like set deadlines and get people to like get their shit done in time. It's somewhat like in the middle. And actually there's like a lot of different versions of product management, and I'm going to go through a bunch of them so that you can get a sense of the range of the job. And then also it should help you understand like how to approach it if that's something you really want to transition to. So, you know, the PM does a bunch of stuff. It's basically the job where you like hold everything together and move everyone forward. So, these are some of the roles you take. You're a decision maker, you're a problem solver, you're an evangelist. So you're always talking about your product, telling people about it, getting people on board, getting them to understand what you're building and why, especially at bigger companies. You're a therapist, like a psychoanalyst. Like I think I asked three times this week, like, how are your feelings today? You know, your team is very dependent on you. And so team from the designers, from the engineers, everyone. And when things happen, whether they're your team or the outside team or the company, something is going on, you are in charge of their feelings to make sure that they can focus and get their work done. In many ways, you know, like I don't build anything. Like I can't explain my job to my parents. They're like doctors and they don't get it. They're like, what do you do every day? I'm like, I talk every day, all the time. But they're like, do you code? I'm like, no. Do you design? No. You don't do any of those things, but you have to empower those people to do their job so that you can get a product out the door. I love this. You're not the next Steve Jobs. If you think you are, I'm surprised you're in this class. This is not what the job is. You don't come in with a big idea and you come into a company and then like you just change direction. Like if that's what you think you are, like go start a company, right? Product management is about finding where the opportunities are and then like nurturing them and building them out. If I interview someone who's like talking about Steve Jobs, I'm like, no. And so I think the most important phrase that you hear a lot with product management is you have influence without authority. So no one reports to me. This is why you're not a CEO, right? The CEO, if I want something done, I just tell you to do it. The CEO of the product is like the actual CEO of the company, like Mark Zuckerberg, right? He's the actual CEO. He actually has the authority at the end of the day. So my role is to take this unruly team and get them to move forward in the same direction, but I can't actually tell them what to do, right? They all report to somebody else. So that's what makes product management really unique. It's not about having the best idea and then everyone just has to do it. There's a lot of work convincing people it's the best idea, convincing them that they thought of it sometimes, but it's a lot of soft influence, but then like rapidly moving forward. So it's really interesting. Okay, so the theme of this is that you don't need a technical degree, so you don't. I don't have one. I had a history degree undergrad, and then I got my MBA, obviously. And I don't know how to code, but I do understand technology at this point, right? I've had four jobs in which I have sat next to engineers, like right next to them, asking questions, and I understand when this box talks to this box in this way, like magical pictures show up on the computer, and that's like all that really matters, right? And like this is like me, my first product management job. Like, so a lot of it comes on like when you're actually working on the field, like you're learning from people, and as long as you're asking really good questions, and genuinely trying to learn how technology works, you're going to be fine. You never ever have to code. I've never actually looked at code and been like, oh, that doesn't look right, because honestly, like, why would they believe me? And so I think this is like a really important concept. Sometimes when you're technical, it actually works against you as a product manager. I also find people who are designers who become product managers also struggle because you end up having a designer on your team, and then you drive them crazy because you're like, I was a designer once, and I'm going to tell you how to do this stuff. But that's very unempowering, right? Same with engineers. Like, if you were technical in the past, some of these folks, product managers, have to learn how to not tell their engineers to do stuff. As a non-technical person, you don't have that problem. So it's like actually a really good place to start, if you ask me. Okay. So as I'm trying to reiterate over and over again, you don't actually need a technical background. But it is difficult to get your first product manager job. Once you have it, like all of a sudden recruiters are banging down your door for some reason. But the first one is actually pretty tricky to get. And so what I'm going to do is like walk through like there are like a couple defined paths to get into product management and like to help you guys understand which one makes sense for you with your background and where you are right now at whatever company you're at, whatever you're doing. So we're going to build a plan. Cool. So here are the steps. It seems so easy, but it's really not. Okay, so one, do you want this job, right? So you'll have like some inkling that maybe you want this job because you wouldn't be here if that was not true. But it's an important job, sort of, but it's also really stressful. It can be, you are the owner of whatever you're doing. When things go right, it's your team. Like, awesome, team did a great job. When shit hits the fan, that is on you, right? So if you don't like that dynamic, do not be a product manager. So it's a lot of responsibility and not a lot of credit, right? And also when things go really, really wrong, like your day just went down the tubes, and you're gonna be spending the rest of the week like fixing whatever went wrong. So that doesn't sound great to you, like you probably shouldn't do it. We can go into that more later too. So the second step is one, understanding the different types of product management jobs, and I will have a slide about this in a second. And once, like, I think there's like different types of people that work for different types of product management jobs. Different backgrounds will get you to transition to certain types of jobs, at least for the first job, a little quicker. And like that's an important part for the at least for the first job, right? And then once you have the first product manager job, then you like a lot of opportunities open up, and then that's a different conversation. Step three is there are actually like four major paths to getting into product management, and I'll go through each of the four. That's gonna be the sad slide. Just saying ahead of time. And then we'll go over like basically what people who are hiring product managers are looking for. So we can quickly go over like basically like what makes sense to talk about in your resume or cover letter, and then tips to what like you should really be focusing on in an interview. So I'm just gonna jump right in. All right, so different types of product management jobs. So what is going on here? Once again, I'm not a designer. So here is like they're kind of degrees of things, and like they're kind of opposite of each other, and there are probably more than three. But these are the ones that came to mind when I was putting this presentation together. And they're the ones that like I think really define a lot about what the different like why you notice like product management can be so different. If you really put many different jobs on the spectrum, it starts to make a lot of sense, right? So I'll start from the top. So the first one is, are you building a consumer product or are you building an enterprise product? Are you building a product that companies and like companies are using, or are you building something like Facebook and like 1.8 billion people are using? And there's like obviously everything in between. That's in a very extreme example, but what happens when you have like an enterprise versus a consumer product? The biggest thing that happens with the two is that's different is that enterprise products tend to have not very many customers, right? So at the very extreme, like a company might have like eight clients, and they you are building software for like eight clients who have maybe 100 people who work at that company. But at the end of the day, you're just there to satisfy like eight people who are writing the check. That's a very, very different job than like on the other extreme of Facebook, where your money is coming from a very distributed source. You have a lot of user data just like flowing in, and there's a lot more data that you can use to make decisions about the product itself. Whereas you don't have a lot of data in the enterprise world, even if you have a lot of people using it. At the end of the day, if like everyone at some big company is using it, it doesn't really matter unless the person writing the check wanted it, right? So you end up with like very different skill sets. So on this side, what's really good is the management of priorities, like working with clients and like really listening to them and making sure like those small, that small number of people, their needs are being met. Whereas this is like go take a statistics class, that at the biggest extreme, understand A/B testing, and really learn how to like look at data, and make decisions with data. You're like abstracted from the actual customer a lot of times when you're doing this at the extreme. And then a lot of companies are kind of in the middle, right? Like, so I think about a Rent the Runway, which had not as many customers at Facebook as Facebook, which is obvious. But so we just didn't have as much data, so things took longer. You know, Facebook, you can run an experiment, and in some ways you can know whether it's working or not, like literally that day, because there's just that many people on Facebook. Rent the Runway, you might have to wait like 2 or 3 weeks. So it like changes how you make your decisions, because like, can you wait 3 weeks to see what the results are? Whereas like enterprise, you would be waiting like indefinitely to learn like what the data is telling you. So different skill set. So if you come from, so I'll give an example, if you come from a background of sales or account management, like this is, it's like a better fit at least at first. And it's going to be tough for someone like that to move all the way to like a Facebook PM role where you're like deep in data and you're looking at graphs all the time, right? Like it can be done. It doesn't mean you can never have that Facebook job. But for your first job, it might be tough to convince someone to let you have that job, right? You're not going to have the skills that, like, they're not going to be able to convince somebody that you can actually do the job at least the first time. Similarly, so another like type of PM roles that you'll see like posted out is like, we need a growth PM, whatever that means. So there's like growth and there's retention. So growth is really acquisition. Once again, it's like, I kind of put them on the same scale, but growth is very also data-driven. It's very fast. You have a whole team that's just working on the A/B testing, whatnot. And then retention is like, they don't follow like enterprise's retention and growth is consumer, but like this is more like you are trying to build a product that will keep someone coming back. So inherently, this is slower because the data doesn't come in as fast, right? So if I'm working on acquisition, I put something out and I immediately know if people are clicking on it more, signing up more, buying more. If I'm working on retention, I literally have to wait 2 weeks to see if you stayed for 2 weeks. I can't know that tomorrow, right? So it's just like inherently slower. But it also means you are deeper into like the personas and you've probably read about personas and like what's the exact use case that this user is trying to get to. That is much, much more a retention type of role. Whereas like if I'm a growth PM, I'm like, I don't care if it's a blue button, a green button, or orange button. We're going to try all of them. We don't care. Like this copy, I don't have an emotional attachment to any of it. So let's just put them all out there and see what happens, right? It's a different attitude. You can do both of these things in your career and switch around. But once again, looking at your own skill sets and what you have right now, you have to place yourself along the spectrum and then know when you're looking at a job, like, where am I realistically on this spectrum? This one is way harder to understand from the outside position, but basically, companies that have like a bottoms up culture, which everyone says they do, but they don't. And then top down, which is actually most places. So you're going to have an Amazon is fairly top down. Most startups are going to be top down because they can't afford to not be top down. But you know, the kind of skills that they're going to be looking for are going to be slightly different. So, Facebook will call itself very bottoms up. I personally think it's very true. But you have a lot of autonomy, and it means you have a lot of responsibility. So if you're not ready for that responsibility, it's going to be very difficult for you to, you know, compare yourself to the other PMs if you were at a Facebook. Whereas like top down, it's good because someone else is like setting the direction. You can take lead from somebody else. But over time, you know, like you're really building like this political savvy, which is honestly useful everywhere. But it's another thing, like if it's something you feel you're strong at, this is going to be a great fit. You're not going to have a lot of choice. Like you're not going to be like, ooh, like pick and choose top down, bottoms up. It's going to be hard to tell, but it's just something to be aware of. It's the cultures of the bigger companies are a little bit more known, but the smaller ones, you're never really going to know. They're going to say whatever sounds good, and then you're going to have to trust them. Cool. So now that you kind of know the scales here. And I'm going to do this super fast, and you guys can ask tons of questions later, by the way. I can flip back through the slides. So I've kind of identified four distinct ways to get into product management. So now that you know what kind of role is probably a good fit for you, or at least for your first role, that's like a realistic transition. First, there's like really four ways to get your first job. So one is, and this is in no order, whatever I thought of first. There's this rotational associate product manager role. That's the first one. So it's basically a junior level role. Some companies, so like in general, companies don't want to hire junior PMs because they don't want to invest in training you, and they just want to know, they just want someone who knows what they're doing, right? But there are some companies willing to invest in this. They either have, they're big and they want like to bring people in through the ranks. They have kind of the bandwidth to do that. They have enough projects that a junior person could take a random project on and actually, you know, have impact at the company. So big companies tend to have these. Sometimes you'll see an associate PM role. Maybe if like you have a very enlightened head of PM at a startup or something like that. But like this will be the associate PM role will be harder to find, but these rotational programs are like big and like they're advertised. But the people in them are going to be younger. They're usually straight out of college, maybe 1 to 4 years out of at their career. So like if you're much older, this might be tougher, although it's not impossible. I don't really know. There's no rules, obviously. That would probably be illegal. But you know, they're like you're going to feel old in one of these programs. But it's still like totally valid because you actually do learn a lot. And I think they're really awesome, actually. So the second one is there are certain companies, basically Amazon, that really like it. They just want PMs that have business backgrounds. The Amazon PM role is actually very more similar to like a general management role, but they call it PM because you are working with engineers. So, I mean, it's like this classic, like if you all read the New York Times Amazon article and like everyone's like worked to death. I mean, it's possibly one reason is like PMs are doing GM roles and PM roles, and that's like one person. But if you do have like this business background, so a lot of Amazon loves to hire right out of MBA, like the top MBA schools. But they also like if you have a biz dev kind of background and you can prove that you've like kind of built things, but also have this like businessy sense, they'll like that and you'll have a chance at least. So a friend of mine, he doesn't have an MBA, but he was doing business development and project management, and they brought him in for like an internal tools type role, which is lower risk for a company. So that's another. A good, you know, if like someone's doing internal tools, they're not like Facebook's not going to hire a new person to work on newsfeed, but like internal tool, we'll give it a try, right? This is true for many big companies. And then maybe you can transition internally from an internal facing role to an external facing role. So that's also pretty common. But like if you have an MBA, like Amazon likes you. This is not that common actually, but Amazon's such a big company that like there's tons of PM jobs out there. The third one. Is there are certain companies and a lot of startups like startup founders, right? So they have this idea like that back to that product manager is a CEO type of idea. Something like Facebook loves former founders. Like most of my colleagues were former founders. I'm like the only one that wasn't, to be honest. And Amazon to a lesser degree, I've seen this, but there and other like mid-sized startups, like the CEOs of those mid-sized startups like swallowing other startups and then having those people become product managers. So, you know, if you have time, found a company and then go become a product manager. It doesn't seem like the best path for maybe people here, but like if that isn't your background, actually, if you founded a small company and it has some technology in it, like that's something you could leverage and like really talk about. That's what you would talk about in your interview and in your resume. And so like it's very relevant information. Even if it's not tech, it can still work, but it's a little harder. And then last, probably the most common way people become product managers is they just internally transfer from a different role at the same company. So someone like a customer service agent, like is just very good at communicating with the product managers. And then product team is like, you know, I really want Tyler to be on our team. And she's like, you pick up some customer service and bring them in. Biz dev, marketing, like all the adjacent roles where like you're kind of working with product managers. A lot of times it's if there's a need at that company, you can transition internally. This is very common because, once again, most medium-sized companies or small companies don't have a lot of product managers. So even they don't know what the role is, but they know they kind of need it. And they don't know how to hire externally. They know you're smart. They've like seen you do smart things. So like you can figure it out, right? So that, like that's very common. And then like that becomes someone's first product management job, sometimes by accident. But this is actually an like, incredibly common path. Like before this talk, I like basically pinged every product manager I knew. I was like, how did you get your first job? And it was basically like, I don't know anyone who's an RPN actually. So like these three were all of them, right? And most of them, I would say half were this internal transfer. So this is pretty common at medium-sized companies in particular. Like the large companies will, they'll do these like RPM type things. So what you'll notice here is that what's not here is like apply for a random job and not be a PM already and then like get it. That's tough. That's a really tough route. Okay. So this is the only one that's kind of like that, but it's going to be a very junior role. So if you're pretty senior and then you're going to try to get a senior product manager role, but never have that title or, and not have a founder title either, like think from the company's point of view, like there's a ton of other PMs out there who actually have that title, even if you might actually be better at the job, right? Like it's not about the reality and who's actually better. It's about like who they think is better, at least at first. And that's just a really tough route. So if that's where you're going, like, you're going to have to do some really, like maybe a lot of networking. You're going to have to sell yourself very hard. You can maybe find a small company who you can just like convince the founder that this is something they need, but that's going to be pretty rare. Like that's going to be a lot of footwork, right? Like you're going to have to do that. So this is a pretty complicated slide. We can also go into this later. Every slide we can go back to. Okay. So going pretty fast, but this is a quick slide. Like what makes a good PM? I will talk about these in detail, but this is kind of the overall list, and I'm sure you can add like 10 more qualities in this, but what I think is most important is when you look at this list, you can actually break it down to how you should approach those qualities and show who you are in your resume and later in your interview. So I'm going to go one by one. Okay, so I need water. One second. All right. Okay, so one of the most important things about product managers is that they show results, right? So you've launched something successfully, you have driven some sort of metric, and so the best place to show results is in your actual resume or your LinkedIn, right? So even if your title isn't product manager, and even if it's an internal transfer, like they're gonna wanna look at your resume anyway, so you have to clean it up. Like the most important things are like built a thing that did, like always start with a verb, right? Like it's just like basic resume advice, but it's like, built a thing that changed this metric by this much, made this more efficient by this much. And so the more like you can make it really like clear and terse, that's gonna be very good for your resume. Related to this is problem solving, right? So the way I think about product management is that it's a role where you're just constantly solving problems. Like you're just like, here's a customer need, we're gonna build something that fixes that need. People do this in every role, right? Like, so if you're customer service. So this is like, I'm thinking of a specific person when I was at Rent the Runway. She basically like was a manager of customer service agents, but like they kept asking her to do pull queries because she was the only one who knew how to do math on the team for some reason. And so she kept being asked to do like, do these queries. And she's like, this is so annoying. I'm going to build like a bunch of, like she's going to build, they weren't like macros, they were just macros, right? She built a bunch of macros to help her out. And when she was moving over to her PM job, I was like, or she wanted to, I was like, you know, what you built was a product technically. Like the tools you used were macros and like whatever's in Excel. And when you're a product manager, the tools you have are like an entire engineering team and designers. And so you have the order of magnitude of your tools is different, is higher and different. But like in your little world, you actually built a tool for yourself that made things more efficient. And that is the story you should tell as like a customer service manager wanting to be a PM, right? So think about the things you've done, the tools you've built, even if they don't seem like real, they're not software necessarily, they're still good stories. So those stories should be like your examples of problem solving in your resume. So if you don't have those stories, once again, it's gonna be like hard to get a job because like that's what the job is, but you can do it in other forms, right? So I talk about when I was a journalist, I was accidentally a product manager. So one of the things at the time, okay, so like imagine like, holy shit, like 11 years ago. And like, they're like video, this video thing might be a thing. And I was like, oh, okay. So I was like an education reporter at the time. I was like, I know what I'll do. I'll like create, I think we can take, I was also doing higher ed. So I was like, why don't we get those commencement videos from all these universities and I'll cut them into little splices. I had some other photo editor or video editor. And we like created this whole series of commencement videos from like Oprah Winfrey and all these famous people. Like that's a product, right? So that's the kind of thing that if you're like, it's in your blood, you're probably already doing it already. And you just need to take that and put it in the front of your resume, right? So even if it's not your job title, like that doesn't matter. You have to show the product-y things you're already doing. And if it's natural to you, there's gotta be examples if you've been in the workforce for a while, right? So show the problem solving. It doesn't have to be a customer problem. It can be your own problem. It can be like your little team, whatever. It's like, there's gotta be something there. And then last, like communication. Like I said, I talk all the time. That's all I do all day. And this is where like the journalism really came in handy, right? So I can talk verbally all day. Just need some like water breaks. But I also write fairly well. And that like I'm trained to write well. And so it's really important. There's a lot of document writing, a lot of some places requirement writing. And you're constantly, remember the what you are is an evangelist, right? So you're talking about your product, especially at a bigger company. You're like, this is why my product should have 10 engineers and why you should care and why I need you to build this thing for me and not the other guy. And so you're just constantly telling people why your product matters. And if you can't communicate it clearly and kind of like engagingly, if that's a word, then it's going to be really tough to do your job. So the resume is an opportunity to not screw it up, right? So if you're not clear, if it's like a little fuzzy, if it's boring, like why would someone want someone who wrote a boring resume? Why would you give that person a chance, right? So if you can make your resume engaging, like that is a hint at how you'll be able to communicate as that in that role also. Okay, cool. So that's the resume. And then the last, remember, communication is still there. You need to be able to talk in the interview too. If you can't talk in an interview, that's going to be tough for many things. But the last three things are, you know, these don't come across in a resume that well, but this is where the interview matters and how you convince people that, I think there's, I'll start at the bottom because it's like the funnier one. So like mentioned, like you take a lot of shit all the time as product manager. So if you like can't, if you like, you're going to cry about it all the time or you're going to get like really down in yourself, like it's really going to be tough, right? So you need some amount of like people are just going to be throwing stuff at you all the time and you're just going to be like, all right, bring it on, like more, right? So this is important. And so you can show this by like how if people are throwing problems your way, you have roadblocks, how you've overcome roadblocks. Those are good stories to tell. In general, you should tell stories, right, in these interviews. So stories of overcoming hardship, not like maybe not personal hardship, but like work hardship is a good idea. Empathy. People always talk about how product managers need to have empathy. This is just like understanding the customer. This is actually referencing the Steve Jobs thing. Like, if you kind of come in and say like, I know what everyone needs, and like you're not like you just like, oh, I have this vision and this is what we're gonna do. It's kind of obnoxious, and like most good PM teams are not gonna want someone like that. Like, you want someone who can get in the shoes of other people and build products for other people, because yes, that's how you use the product, but someone else might not use it like that, right? So like a really good example of like a fuck up I did was at Amazon, we like changed, like, so I worked at Audible, like an audio player for audiobooks, right? And we changed like the color of the background of the player. It went from like a gray to white. Because we're like, ooh, white, so modern. It was like iOS 7. Like, so what are we on, iOS 11 now? I don't know. So it's like iOS 7 is like so clean. It's going to be beautiful. We're like so excited. And we launched it and everyone's like, you guys are such idiots. Like, I use this when I go to bed. And so when I open this app, it's like bright white. And even if I dim it to the bottom, like it's like, I think I got three emails that said, it's a damn beacon. I was like, is that a phrase? So it's like, we didn't have empathy for the people who use Audible at night. Like, I use it while I work out and when I'm like on the train. But lots of people use it to like lull themselves to sleep. I think that's weird. And that was a screw up, right? And so if someone's coming in and is like, I know how people use this thing, like, that's a huge red flag to me. It's like, here's one possible use case. I need a team to understand all of the others, right? So someone like, if you're so sure, like, that actually is a huge red flag to me, and others that are probably hiring for this job. And the last one is, this is actually where the technical stuff is helpful. So understanding trade-offs, decision-making. Trade-offs means like in anything, you're like, I want to build this thing. And then your engineer is gonna be like, that's going to take 3 months. Right. And then you're like, okay, how do I build it in like 4 days? And so he's going to tell you, or he or she's going to tell you, okay, well, if you don't build this feature, but you do this one and that one, and you're like constantly making these small trade-offs to be able to get your product out at all. Right. And so the product managers I personally don't like to work with are ones that are like, we're going to build it because this is no empathy, right? We're going to build it because I know this is the thing. I don't care if it takes 3 months. And they launch it and it sucks because they don't listen to anybody and they don't care about the trade-offs and they weren't willing to make them, right? So another, like, this is a good story play, like, so this is not just technical, right? So you can be in your job and you trade-offs can be anything, right? Okay, like if you want to do this event in this way, it's going to cost more money, so then we have to skimp on the food or something, right? Like it's actually like that's literally my job, it's just like food and technology. And so those stories are really useful to understand that you can make decisions. Like you're constantly just making a bunch of small decisions that should add up to the right decision, right? And if you can show that you have the ability to like fine tune any decision and understand both sides of it, that's a key, like a key skill for product managers. And it doesn't, once again, it doesn't have to be a technical example. It just has to show that you're aware of both sides and that you're not just like a bull in a china shop and you're like, we're gonna do whatever I say. So it's once again, these like soft influence skills that kind of add up here. And like I said, you can't get this across in a resume, so this is you get it across in the interview. So have those stories ready, right? Decision-making, doing trade-offs, and showing your resilience. You also want these results and problem-solving stories, but assume you already have them ready because they're in your resume, right? Okay, so I think that's the end. It is like 1,000 degrees in here. It's very warm. Give me a link. Thank you. Whew. All right. So I can take questions on any slide, any topic, and then hopefully we'll actually be able to answer them. All right, we start here. You guys.
So what's Facebook like? Do you get put in charge of, like, you do birthdays? Is there a way to move around, or?
I don't do birthdays. So Facebook has a very interesting structure. This is a little inside baseball, so if you don't know product management that well, it's maybe like, so I'll tell you about my favorite part of Facebook. So I mentioned it's like bottoms up. So the way we structure everything is we spend a lot of time figuring out the goal that you're in charge of. So I'm part of an organization called Facebook Local, and the overall goal is for us is to connect small businesses, local businesses, so, you know, like an actual, with a physical address, to people. So we want to be part of that conversation. We want to help you get there. We want them to be able to reach you. Companies to and businesses to be able to find customers, right? So in that large org, actually, every individual PM is going to have some goal. Mine is pretty abstract, so I'm not going to use mine. It's hard to explain, but like someone might have a goal like, we want more page admins to be active, right? There's some admins who like are posting stuff all the time and checking their page. And there's some that like set up a page and then like have not looked at it for 10 years. So we want more people to go from that bucket to the one where they're doing stuff. So that's like a really, like that's a very straightforward metric. And then that PM's job, this is the high autonomy, self-starter kind of culture of Facebook, is you do whatever it takes to like, you do whatever idea makes sense to get people to get to be more active. So that's everything from making the page easier to use, but also like when people like pages, like users like pages, admins come back and be like, who are these people who like my page? So then they become active again, right? So like, can you get more people to like certain pages? Like there's like 10 different strategies you could approach. And it, as a product manager, you're deciding which ones, right? That's pretty unique. So that's the bottoms up thing. And like a top down would be like, Jeff Bezos wants an Echo. And you're like, okay, I'll go build it. And so like the goal is to like build this product that like Jeff Bezos has like almost fully formed in his head, but you're the ones figuring out the technology of how to get it done, right? The Echo's not a great example because it's hardware, but like Kindle Unlimited is one I had a lot of visibility in, right? So it's like, go build me a subscription product with books. I don't know how you're gonna build it, use the technology, and I need it like in 3 months. And so the PM's job is to figure out, okay, what publishers can they get? So this is like the GM part of it. But also like what underlying technology at Amazon can we use that already exists? What do we have to build new? There's all these weird edge cases. So like that's like very different because Jeff Bezos said, I want Kindle Unlimited, right? And so like you didn't define the product, he defined it for you, which is fine. Actually, it's like kind of a nice way to work too. But like at Facebook, someone paid, like Mark Zuckerberg's not being like, I want this button on this page admin page. It's just like, I just need more admins doing stuff, right? So it's very metrics driven, and that's the other, like, it's great that Facebook can have all these metrics because they're huge and lots of people are using it. And so you have the data to make data driven, decisions. So I like it. I like data. What's up? Right back.
Can you talk a little bit about the progression of responsibility? So for instance, from kind of the associate PM to PM
director,
at what point, I guess, what are some of the
things? That's a good question. You know, what's interesting is the actions of the role are probably very similar. What changes is the products that are assigned to you and the importance to the company, and also like the scope and scale, right? So if you're an associate product manager, it'll still be, you'll still own something very distinct if you're in a place that understands product management, but it will be like, you'll only have to work with your immediate team and maybe a couple partner teams. And it'll be relatively limited in like scale, right? Just because like, if you're a junior and you like screwed up, like you don't want to like expose yourself to that much risk as a company. So as you get more senior, and you'll end up doing things where like you have to work with like 20 partner teams. And I'll be working with cross-functionally with 20 other PMs, which is like crazy, because like any meeting with more than three PMs is like way too many PMs, right? Like too many opinions. But like that becomes very complicated. You're like managing a lot of different goals, and you're like you're horse trading this or that. So it becomes just like bigger and broader. And then, you know, more senior PMs will be on more high profile projects. So something that has like something TechCrunch would write about, right? But actually the actions are not so dissimilar. Like you're still making these little decisions. You're still, you're still doing the same kind of problem solving, but you're just doing it like with more visibility. So I think actually the actions are very similar, and you're doing it faster because you're like more senior, I guess. But it's not like, there might be a role where like when you're younger, you're like only getting coffee and you only like get to do stuff when you're old. Like that's not it. Like once you're a PM, even associate PM, you really own a thing, just will be smaller. Let's go here. And a product manager. Okay, so it's a good question. And that slide is like, if anyone took a picture of that slide, like don't post it on Twitter. It's like not a good slide. It's not a good slide out of context. So project management, your goal as a project manager is to get whatever the thing is done on time. So like your end goal is just time, right? Like you don't even care what it is. So when your thing is about time, what you're doing is like scheduling everyone and creating deadlines, like artificial deadlines, to get someone to that thing by that time. Product management can be a little of that, like depending on the product, right? So if it's like these enterprise products that aren't like so iterative, and you don't have a project manager, you might end up doing that because it's the only way to get the product out. But like you're also making all these decisions, right? You're also working with engineers directly. Like a project manager may or may not work with engineers at all. So it's like you're much more making the decisions about what the end user will actually see, whereas a project manager just cares about like the internal process to get the thing done. And at least like there are many companies where product managers end up doing project management. I like avoid those companies like at all costs. I'm really, really not organized like that. And so like Facebook is like a really good fit for me because like it's pretty loosey goosey on that front. That's also don't tweet that, I guess. It's like, you know, so different companies will need different things. And as a product manager, you know, you're just going to have to feel out the company that you're at, and then like understand, hey, if like this, it requires project management, you're just going to have to do it, or else like your thing doesn't get done. But then you like figure out how to go somewhere where that, like, that's not your role, right? If that's not a good fit for you. For some people, it's a really good fit, actually. And so that might be great. Like for me, it's like I'm running for the hills. Go here. So when you're working with situations, how do you validate what's happening? Ooh, that's a really hard one. Sometimes you can't validate it because sometimes it's a terrible idea, right? That happens all the time. So there's a couple things. One is often when ideas come down from the top and they don't make so sometimes they make sense, right? And they're awesome and they like. It's totally clear, and that's really easy. A lot of times they don't make sense, and it's giving that the person who handed down to you the benefit of the doubt, there's probably some reason it makes sense to them, right? Like there's some external reasons. Maybe like some vendors on the other side really want it, and they're just not giving you visibility to the why. What I do, which is not necessarily always the best thing to do because some people don't like it, is to ask a bunch of questions like, why are we doing this? And so I try to understand it from the top down so that I can then tell my team. Like execs don't have the patience for that, so it's like not always the best strategy. So it depends. You have to once again feel out the room. I have personally gotten myself in trouble like asking too many questions, and then you know like 3 months later, I leave because like that's just not a good environment for me. Like, I'm going to ask a lot of questions. I want to understand the why, because I actually can't do good work unless I understand the why. So that like that can work if you have the right atmosphere and the right kind of people around. Just like, and you can be nice about it. Maybe I could have been nicer about it. But like, you just, that is one way to do it. But if that's not part of the deal, like, you can't ask the people asking you what's up. I mean, that's tough. That really, this is the hard part about product management. This is the shit hitting the fan, right? This is actually the worst case scenario. It's like, you cannot explain to your team why you need to do this thing. And you can't put a convincing face on it because you don't really understand it either. But no one's giving you any answer. So, that is when you find that little golden part of it that does make sense and really like lean on it. But honestly, that's like a terrible situation. But it happens a lot, to be honest. It happens a lot. It tends to throw teams into chaos. Engineers get really unhappy. And this is what I'm talking about. This is why this job is hard. So there's no really good answer, except like the ultimate answer is like you go to another company, because that's just really not a healthy environment for a product manager over time. It's really hard to like, you know, make an impact when you end up just being, you're just shuffling other people's needs around, right? That is a job that exists, but it's not like over time, if you get more senior, you have more options, right? Yeah.
I know you said that it really depends on where you're working, but in terms of like documentation and deliverables, like when you're making a joke about you, folks ask you what you actually do. What do you find, like what do you find yourself actually putting together?
Yeah, so, the most common form, or the form of documentation, at least, so one caveat here is I've actually never worked at an enterprise company. Okay, so I've only worked at consumer-facing companies, and I've only worked on consumer-facing products. So it's harder for me. I've talked to product managers who work in enterprise stuff, so but like not an expert on this. But at least in a consumer-facing company, the one type of document that you'll see at all companies, large and small, or that are very useful, is some version of like a one-pager that explains why your product exists, like what it's going to be like how you're going to build it. And it's the thing that like if someone random in the company asks you, what are you doing? You can like literally just like email them this document, right? So it's a mission statement, but it gets more tactical too, right? So it can be one, so at Amazon, it's funny, it's like a one pager, but then there's like a 20 page appendix. And that's like your document of truth. Same thing at Facebook. Like, there's different versions, but it's essentially a one-pager that describes what you're doing. And if you can't describe what you're doing in writing, and like someone random in the company like understands it, or like they don't understand it, like you're not. That's the communication part of the job. So that's probably the most important deliverable. There'll be sometimes it's a deck. It might not be a one-pager, but it's like the description of the thing you're doing and how you're getting there at a high level. And then some companies, the product manager will write requirements like break it down, and like that's what the engineers actually build. I personally don't like it, because I find when I write very detailed requirements, the engineers don't read it anyway, and then they come ask me a bunch of questions as if I didn't write anything, right? So I just spent a lot of time writing stuff, so I don't like doing that. But some companies, depending on the head of product, might really believe in this. Also, if you're a product manager at like an enterprise company and you have external facing deliverables, you'll need to do that because someone's looking at it like on a granular basis. Also with project managers, that if you have a project management team, that tends to, so it is case by case. But like the one thing is like the doc describes what you're doing and why, and all the technical and design details of all your decisions. So like really mapping out why you made, like inevitably with every product, you've made some compromises, right? And someone will ask you, why is it doing this thing that doesn't make sense? And there's a reason, because it's going to take 6 months to build that thing, right? And so explaining all those weird decisions along the way, that's your like document of truth. And you're going to have one of those for every product that you have, even if you have multiple products at a time. Yeah.
How important would you say it is for brand new product owners to understand agile versus waterfall and the scrum process, particularly if you're going to be in a consumer product role and maybe you are someone writing user stories? How important?
So I don't think there's a company in the world that does any of the agile things like how they're written to be done, right? So you could be an expert on like the perfect agile, and I barely know what the real agile is, but like no company's doing it right, right? So if you understand the general principles, which is build the smallest thing possible, you're gonna have to adjust to the team that's there with you, right? So like some engineers like like really freak out when they don't have written requirements for some reason. And it has nothing to do, it doesn't even do with the company, it's like that team. So you have even different teams at the same company, some will do, they'll just do Agile differently. And some will do waterfall. Don't work at a company that's waterfall. It's so awful.
Part of the reason I ask
yeah.
Because I feel like in understanding those different
yeah.
dynamics, you'll see clear signs of a place you don't want to work.
Yeah. And one thing, like, there's, if you really believe you want to be a product manager and you work at a company right now that does waterfall, which means, like, if you don't know what waterfall is, it's like you get all, the whole thing is fully formed at the, before you even start, right? Whereas Agile and versions of Agile are like you keep, you kind of have a vague idea of where you're going, and then you, like, build, and then you're like, okay, but people didn't even click on this button, so we shouldn't even build the rest of this button. Let's move on to another button, right? That's Agile. That's, like, doing the MVP type of thing, whereas waterfall is, like, government contracts are like this a lot. So it's like, we want the whole spec and then you build it to spec, even if it like, we know people aren't going to use this one section of it, but we like committed to it. So like, yeah, that's like, those are tough. But once again, if you're at a company like that, like, it's not a terrible idea to just like transition if you truly believe in product management, and then you can still use that job to like go get another job. Right. So, but it is tougher. It's kind of a different job in many ways. Like, you end up being a project manager in those waterfall situations, whereas, agile, lean, whatever, apparently they're different. Those are going to be more like you're making decisions on the fly as data comes back in. Like, you build a thing and something else. Okay. All right. Some questions, right here.
My experience, what is the best way to get feedback from your customer now? The reason I ask is, apps will only allow developers and product managers to reply the review on the app store like last week. And I haven't started doing that yet, just because, from our experience, iOS users are a lot harder to please compared to Android users.
That's true. That's very true in general. So this is hard. So if you're an enterprise product, usually like you just have beta customers and like they. Your customer, you're very close, but you're talking about a consumer product. So most companies, a lot of companies will have like a user research team. So instead of finding the customers that are complaining, you're proactively like just understanding their problem set. If you're like responding to complaints in the, like one, you can put like a feedback email like in the app itself. So they email you directly. But it is tough. Like it's like, you don't want to, you should avoid going through the platform. So you should make it easy to do it in the app. So they reach out to you directly and then you can have a conversation directly. So, like, avoid the Apple and the Google Play way, because, like, it's all public, too. Like, that's terrible. So you want to drive people to you. There are, like, clever tricks to do that in the app. But, like, so if you're unhappy, like, why don't you email us? Don't leave a review. So that's, like, one way to do it. But I would just, like, circumvent that entire system, right? Like, create a new system. But you should be doing user research ahead of time. One more. Let's, in the back, this guy here. Yeah. There's lots of books. I recently wrote this. So there's a book called Inspired by Marty Kagan. Yeah. Okay. He's like this product guru. I've never met him, but he has, a blog or like a site called the Silicon Valley Product Group. So svpg.com or org or something. I don't know. And he wrote a book. It's pretty useful. It describes a lot of what I'm describing here. It's pretty complete. But then I think like the other books are just like the kind of like, how do you influence people? Like, what's the one, the famous one, like Making Friends, How to Influence, the one that's really famous. So famous, I don't know the name, but, like those are like, forget like product management as a skill, like that, the Marty Kagan book will give you the fundamentals. Much more important is like, how do you like influence people without having authority, right? So it's just getting people to like you and trust you. And how do you like get a team to trust you and work? So some of these more processy books or like soft skills, pure soft skills. So they don't have product management in the title. Are we done? Okay. Cool.